from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me. To the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or any angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Thanks, Sharon. So do keep your Bibles open at that passage if you can. It's on 1168 in the Pew Bibles if you'd like to. And let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it is to hear and to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of us here would have come to faith a long time ago, and we may have found it hard to keep going with quite the same level of enthusiasm as we began. Some of us took a while to come to faith, perhaps spending a good deal of our lives being religious, going to church, being good, trying to make God like us, thinking we knew the Christian message. And then perhaps one day the penny dropped and we realized that the good news of the Christian faith is that it's all about having a relationship with the God who loves us and about what he has done for us in Jesus, and nothing at all about our attempts to please God. Others of us perhaps knew nothing of the Christian message, heard it one day out the blue, and simply responded to God with delight and excitement. Only after we became a Christian did things seem to get a bit more complicated, with expectations placed on us about how we should live, how we should pray, how we should spend our money, and other things. For some of us here today, we may still be working it out, perhaps thinking that Christianity is just one of many religions, and it's all about keeping rules that are either unrealistic or unappealing or irrelevant. If any of that is you, if there are any echoes there with your experience, the book of Galatians has something to say to you. The first is, Paul, an apostle, sent not by another human being, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. The false teachers who had come into the Galatian churches were saying that he had made things up, that he had no authority in his teaching, and he was not a true apostle. Apostle literally means one who is sent with a job to do. In order to be an apostle, the requirement was that you had witnessed Jesus' resurrection. Paul, we know, was not involved with Jesus when he was on earth, but he was called by the risen Lord on the Damascus Road. But Paul wasn't part of the original group of 12 apostles, so there was room for his enemies to say that he wasn't a true apostle. So Paul dives straight in, and he says in verse 1, he has authority to preach the gospel that he preaches because he was appointed an apostle, not by human intervention, but through the calling of Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So that's one of the first big themes, Paul being an apostle. The second theme is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The false teachers who'd come into the Galatian churches were saying that while both Jewish and Gentile Christians were saved by the grace of God in Jesus, In order to be fully acceptable to God, Gentile believers needed to take on Jewish religious practices. They must be circumcised and they needed to obey the whole law. They wanted to take the Gentiles back to religion and rules. If you ask people today what they think of Christianity, many would say that it is about religion and rules. Maybe some of us here think that. Not that you don't think that there aren't some good rules for life in Christianity, but no one can live up to them, and they certainly aren't for you. Those of us who are Christians and have trusted in Jesus and the good news of his life, death, and resurrection can all too easily forget about our dependence on him from beginning to end and start to think that somehow it does depend on us, and any failing on our part just proves how terrible a person we are and that God can't possibly love us or have a plan for us. Look at what the Bible says, what Jesus is reminding us of through the words of Paul, words that we can trust because, remember, he is speaking with an authority given by God. We are taken back to the gospel. We read, to the good news of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us. Christianity is not a religion, but it is a rescue. Someone coming to rescue you has to be relevant to you, or at least it's worth understanding more about. We read that Jesus came to rescue us from the present evil age. And it's not difficult to see that that phrase still applies today. Ukraine, Afghanistan, murder, racism, abuse, pornography, the list goes on. We tend to locate evil out there, paedophiles, rapists, murderers, when we're all in fact part of this present evil age. We've all at one point or another pushed God out of our lives and want the world to revolve around us. I'm sure I'm not alone in finding that still to be the case, often the case at times. We all have the symptoms, jealousy, selfishness, or anger that comes out in destructive ways. Look around at each other this morning. Go on, take a look around. We've all scrubbed up quite well, haven't we? But we like to keep things hidden. And none of us are fit for the presence of God. We could spend our whole lives trying, but we will never get there. Nothing that we can do will ever be enough. So in accordance with the will of God our Father, Jesus rescued us from the present evil age. God rescued us in the person of his Son. It's not religion, it's rescue. It's not rules, it's relationship. And it's all a gift. The typical greeting of grace and peace of verse 3 takes on a new dimension. Grace is God's favor that we don't deserve, expressed to us in Jesus. Peace is God's blessing of total well-being. It's a gift. It says it here, Jesus who gave himself for our sins. Jesus gave his life. Dying on the cross, he took our punishment, taking what we deserve to give us the life and friendship with God we don't deserve. So in this short introduction, Paul takes the Galatians back to the gospel, to the freedom and grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for our rescue from sin and from all that is wrong with this world. The Christian gospel is not a religion, but a rescue. And God achieved that rescue in history through the cross. He has announced it in scripture through his chosen apostles, and he moves in lives today so that it becomes our experience. Verse 5 in the Message version is, God's plan is that we all experience that rescue. Glory to God forever. Oh, yes. So Paul takes the Galatians back to the gospel, and he reminds them that there is no other gospel, in verses 6 to 10. Usually, in Paul's letters, his initial greeting is followed by him being thankful for those he's writing to. He praises their faith or their love. And you can see it at the beginning of Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Thessalonians, but not here. Paul is so concerned about what's happening in the Galatian churches, so passionate, he goes to this straight to his main point in verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. How could you? The teachers that have come in among the church are asking them to believe in Jesus, but also to become Jewish by being circumcised and obeying those Old Testament laws. The Galatians possibly couldn't see what really was happening, but Paul warns them that they are turning to a different gospel, which is in fact no gospel at all. Having experienced God's freedom and rescue in Jesus, how can it be good news to return to a state of rules and religion? It was like saying, Jesus didn't do enough on the cross. You have to do something too. The Revised Standard Version says, you are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel. The false teachers are causing confusion and agitation among the Galatian Christians. They're not preaching the gospel at all, but another message entirely. The Galatians have been called by God, a God who is gracious to undeserving sinners. In grace, he gave his only son to die for us. In grace, he calls us. In grace, he puts us right with himself when we believe. Nothing is due to our efforts or work. But the message they're turning to now was one that said that without living according to the customs and laws of Moses as well, you cannot be saved. The Galatians are in danger of abandoning the grace of God, and in so doing, deserting the God of grace. There is, Paul says, no other gospel than the one we preach to you. Today, there is still false teaching around. There are two kinds: teaching that takes away from the gospel of Jesus and teaching that adds to it. It's fairly easy to spot false teaching that takes away from the gospel, teaching that suggests that Jesus wasn't actually God, or that says that there was no physical resurrection, it was just some kind of spiritual thing. False teaching that adds to the gospel may be more difficult to spot. It's a teaching that says, yes, trust in Jesus, but you must also do this. I was pretty hopeless at maths at school, but it's been said that in divine mathematics, 1 + 1 = 0, because to add to the gospel is actually to take away from it. When I became a Christian, the talk that evening was on the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19. We do read it if you're not familiar with it. I was struck by Jesus' love for this little man who was hated because he was a chief tax collector and had got rich by cheating others. Jesus knows him, names him, calls him, and goes to eat with him. He accepts Zacchaeus as he is, with all his flaws and failings and insecurities. And like Zacchaeus, I felt that Jesus was calling me as I was. I could simply come. How confusing it would have been if a few months later, another message had been preached to me that actually, yes, I needed to come to Jesus, but I couldn't really come simply as I was. I needed to sort my life out, and then he would accept me and welcome me. With that message, all the good is taken out of the good news. If you add to the gospel, you actually take away from it. We must hold on to the gospel that preaches the free grace of God, free forgiveness through Jesus' death on a cross. The gospel that is the gospel of the apostles of Jesus Christ, the New Testament gospel. There is no other. Paul says that anyone preaches a gospel other than the one preached by the apostles is to be eternally condemned. He says it twice in verses 8 and 9. That's a bit of an ouch. But it's really important. It doesn't matter who it is, Paul himself or an angel or anyone else. It's serious to be leading people astray. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. So to corrupt the gospel is to close off the way of salvation to those listening. Anyone who rejects the New Testament gospel, no matter who they are, we mustn't go along with them. We're not to be dazzled by a person or their gifts or their scholarship, nor by bishops or professors. We measure them by the gospel of the New Testament, not the gospel by them. In the world we live in, there is no one big truth, no absolute promoted that should be the backdrop of all our lives. Anything goes, one message is as good as another. Paul is passionate that this is not the case. There is no other gospel than the one he has preached. The popular view is that there are many ways to God and that the gospel changes with the changing years. After all, how can it be the same as in the first century? Paul insists there is only one gospel and that it does not change. And in so doing, he and we may well not be popular. One of the criticisms of Paul was that he's trying to please the Gentile Christians by not placing the demands of the law on them, trying to make it easy for them. But he says, does it look like I'm pleasing people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ, he says. We too will be left with this choice, to please people or to serve Jesus. We may not be able to do both. There may be a cost to us in our relationships or in our climb on the career ladder to success. Later on in Galatians, Paul talks about how being a servant of Jesus has led to his suffering. So just as the Galatians needed calling back, so do we. Let's come back to the gospel. The good news of grace. We've described it in our vision document. The good news of grace about the God who made us, who loves us, and sent his Son Jesus Christ into the world to restore our relationship with God that we will never deserve and can never earn. And let's hold on to the fact that there is no other gospel than this one. Don't allow anyone to add to it or take away from it, and so take away your joy and your freedom. Hold fast to God's word, unchanging in a changing world. As Paul summed it up in his letter to the Ephesians, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So let's take a moment of quiet now to think how we will respond. Some of us will never have decided to follow Jesus and to trust in him. So why not today? Some of us need to be determined to stick with the good news of Jesus, whatever the cost. Some of us need to be reminded that we are loved by God just as we are, and that Jesus has done all that is needed for us to be at peace with him. So let's be quiet and allow the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and speak to us. Lord, please call us. Call us back. May we lean on your grace and the good news that we have in Jesus. Make us thankful, we pray. In his name, amen.